How many of you ventured out on Friday to go shopping? Brave souls. Some people aren't brave enough to admit it, but you were brave enough to venture out. It wasn't intentional, but I didn't happen to go shopping on Friday. I think that the shopping season provokes the seeking soul in each of us. What were some of you seeking? Anyone seeking anything particular on Friday or this weekend shopping? Anyone want to be brave to say what you were seeking? No. I believe that beyond the shopping season that causes us to seek for the right gift or the right decoration or the right food to offer or the right thing to bring into our homes or to give to other people, I think that it speaks also of something that is innate within each one of us, and that is in our lives, somewhere, some aspect of our daily lives, we are seeking something. Am I right? Some months ago, we began to look at planning the Advent season, and as we were thinking about this is a season of seeking. We really are seeking, again, not only things, but something in our lives or our community. I began to ask some of the staff of the church and some others, what is it that you're seeking? And we heard some words like joy, security, to be loved, to be liked. One of the words that I heard a lot was peace. I'm seeking peace. I'm seeking inner peace. Seeking peace for my children. Seeking peace for the country. Have you ever heard that when anyone, whether it's in a pageant or whatever they're asked, if you're given one wish, what would it be? What's the famous response? World peace. Well, what does that look like? What does that mean? I believe so ardently that so many of us are seeking peace in our lives. It's not a coincidence that, or it's a strange coincidence, actually, that this week, just a few days ago, there was an armed conflict in a place that has known at least tense peace in our world for the last 50, 60 years as the border has become more and more tense between North and South Korea. And we are reminded of how tenuous and sometimes how brittle peace can really be in our world and our personal lives. Peace seems like a dream. Can seem like a utopian thing. Achieving world peace can seem as far out there as ending poverty or curing, stopping world hunger. But peace is exactly what God spoke in the midst of God's people through the prophet Isaiah. In the coming weeks, we'll be talking about some of those different things that we're seeking in our lives. And we'll be looking at the words of Isaiah through the scripture in the Old Testament. And we'll be also preparing through drama, as you heard the gospel made flesh through our actors this morning. I'm so grateful for their participation. But this morning, Isaiah speaks to the people of the house of Jacob, it's called. And he's speaking to two particular places, or two particular peoples, Judah and particularly the city of Jerusalem. And Isaiah says, this is the word spoken to the house of Jacob in Judah and in Jerusalem. And this word has come down. And Isaiah shares with the people a new vision. He says, in this new vision, God will come and God will be an arbitrator between nations. God will sit on a justice seat. God will arbitrate between peoples and nations. And they will take their swords and they will beat their swords, they'll heat them up, and they'll turn them into plowshares. They won't harbor war anymore, and they'll live in peace. Sounds like a great dream. But can you imagine saying a word like that in the region of Israel and Palestine today? Can you imagine what it means to dream about peace, about turning hostility into a new concept? I mention that because this is what it was like for the people of the time. They weren't living like you and me, where peace is tenuous, but it's there. They were living in a time in which many of them lost loved ones or were displaced themselves because of war. God talked about the hill of Zion. Zion is often seen as the place that God speaks from or that God will return to But this wasn't a peaceful place. Zion was the very hill that was fought over constantly. Zion was stained in its soil with the blood of different sides, generation after generation, people who were trying to take over the hill. Zion was the scene for so many bloody fights and disputes and people being cast away. It was there that God said God would bring God's peace. The image of turning the swords into plowshares is a wonderful image to me because it's, if you think about it, it takes tools, something that was once used for hostility, and not throwing it away. Swords aren't cast away and put into a closet never to be used again, but they are transformed so that they can be used again. The spears are transformed so that they can be used again, but this time in their using, it is to bring people together. What do you think it would mean if you took the swords and the spears that were that people used to pour out their hostility on each other and they turn them into plowshares? A plowshare, literally a hoe or a plow to till the land. What do you think would happen? It would produce jobs, right? People now would have instruments that they could do something with. And if the hill of Zion and other land was not used as a battleground, it could be used for what? For fertile soil, to grow food. In transforming things that the people were using for hostility into peacemaking instruments, they could live a new way of life. Well, what does this mean for us this day? I believe that when we seek peace, yes, we're talking about peace for our country. Yes, in the last 10 years, the word peace has taken on a new meaning as we felt an imminent threat of terrorism and our country has experienced loss and war in different places around the world. But I believe that our seeking peace goes beyond that. We seek peace for our families, for our marriages, for our children, for inside ourselves. So often, especially during this season, there are reminders all around us that remind us of mistakes that we've made in the past. And those mistakes keep us from having some sort of inner peace. There are things that remind us that our future is uncertain and unstable. There is a frail and changing economy. There are jobs that are lost or that are threatened. There are difficulties that we worry about our environment and the world that our children and our grandchildren will inherit. The peace at every level of our lives is threatened. But I believe that the word spoken through the prophet Isaiah is constant on all of these levels. And I believe that God seeks to take instruments of hostility and not cast them away, not throw them away or burn them up, but to transform them into instruments of peace. One of my favorite written prayers, a prayer that I use in my personal prayer life a lot, is the prayer of St. Francis. I don't know if many of you know it, but the prayer of St. Francis begins this way: Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. What strikes me about this prayer, it continues from there, is that the person praying the prayer is not asking God to fix the hate or to use the person to fix the hate. It says, where there is hatred, let me what? Sow love. Let me sow love. Where there is darkness, let me sow light. Where there is despair, let me sow joy. Again, just like on the hill of Zion, which was a bloody hill that would become a peaceful hill. Just like swords that were instruments of hospitality or hostility that would become instruments of hospitality and peace, we are not asked to fix a broken world or to fix a broken situation, but simply to plant seeds in which they may be transformed by God's power and God's grace. Now, the challenge for me in this prayer is that so often when we are faced with hatred, that it is so easy to take on the contagion of the hate itself. How can we be faced with hatred and not soak it in, absorb it, and then maybe even pass it on to someone else? How often when we are confronted with injury, whether we're injured ourselves, our spirits, or those around us, how easy it is to take that on and to be transformed by the injury. And so often, if we don't allow it to be transformed, what happens? We begin to injure others. But the prayer calls for something different. When we are faced with hatred, we don't try and fix it. We don't throw it away. We don't cast it away. But we plant seeds of love. When we face hostility, God calls us to become instruments, to be transformed, to plant seeds of peace. You'll notice there's a picture here in the front of the sanctuary, and throughout Advent and Christmas, we're going to have different art. It's going to be a part of our worship service. And this particular picture has something in the foreground, and I have the very object in my hand. And it is literally an instrument of peace. Can you hear? This instrument of peace was once an instrument of war. This was a mortar shell that was used in a war some 10 years ago in Cambodia when the Vietnamese had occupied Cambodia. This lead, I believe it's lead, or the metal that is in my hand, was a mortar shell and was used as an instrument of war. I don't know its history. I don't know if it was live, if it was fired. But what I do know is this is no longer an instrument of war. Never again will this pierce another person's flesh. Never again will this be used to act out anger or hostility to someone. Never again will this tear another hole into a car or a building. Never again will this threaten the life or the security of anyone. Because this has been transformed into an instrument of peace. This was, I believe the shell was taken and melded. It was shaped and reformed into a bell. Now, a friend of mine gave this to me some time ago when I was experiencing my own moment of despair in life. And he said, you know, someone gave this to me some time ago, and I think it's time it finds a new home. And he passed it on to me as a symbol that hostility can be transformed into peace if only we will sow seeds and only if we will allow God to bring that transformation in our life. And you'll see the same bell in the image in the front of the sanctuary. I believe that God calls us to be instruments of peace. If you are seeking peace for yourself to overcome issues of the past, if you're seeking peace in your marriage, if you're seeking peace in your family life or in your work life, if you're seeking peace for our nation, for our world, for someone else who has become so troubled, I want you to just take a moment and name what that peace is. You don't have to name it out loud. I want you to name and claim for yourself what is the peace that you are seeking in your own life. Now hear this. God does not call us to fix that situation. You will not fix it. God calls us to become instruments, to take the hostility, to take the unsettledness, to take the pain, to take the despair, and to sow seeds of peace. What that means is that we are to forgive. We are to forgive ourselves. We are to forgive those around us. What that means is that we are to love when people seem unlovable. What it means is that we are to seek justice, even when it means advocating for people who look differently, speak differently, or act differently than we do. We are to seek to become instruments of God's peace, sowing seeds. Now, I know that often that feels like ringing a bell when mortar shells are still flying over our heads. I know that. But God's new vision is of a new heaven and a new earth and a new hill of Zion and a new way of being in your life. And if we seek to become instruments of God's peace, God will enter into our lives and will give us peace. I believe so fervently in my heart, the only way for us to receive peace at any level, as a nation, as a world, as a husband, as a parent, or as a sibling, the only way for us to receive peace in our lives is to become instruments ourselves, to sow seeds and allow God to bring peace. This is my prayer. May it be so. Amen.